All right. Well, Kevin Barker, we can drop the curtain on the month of April. Blue Jays 4-1 losers to the Kansas City Royals. Finishing the month. One game under 500 at 15-16. It is Blue Jays talk. The numbers, as always, 416-870-0590. *590. 1-888-666-0590. We've got our eye on that other Toronto team as well. The Maple Leafs currently tied 1-1 with the Bruins.
Defense. Well, they're playing defense right now.
Defense? The hell, you a football game?
I don't know how you cheer for hockey, Jeff. Sorry.
What about run prevention? Run prevention. 4-1, the Blue Jays have lost to Cole Ragans and the Kansas City Royals. Really not a great deal to talk about tonight. Cole Ragans is awfully good. He showed it tonight. Jose Berríos is awfully good, giving up a two-run home run to Michael Massey. Eric Swanson coming in and giving up the third run, then Genesis Cabrera on, and the fourth run comes in. The third one, I think, was probably the backbreaker, given the way things have gone offensively for this team. But, Kevin, let's start by talking about the starting pitching, and Jose Berríos in particular. We'll start with him.
Yeah, he's wonderful, right? We've been talking all year about the mechanical changes and how simple it looks and how repeatable it is, and now all of a sudden he's added attitude to that. I mean, tonight he was throwing some more change-ups, you know, the 9-mile-an-hour difference between that and the two fastballs. He was throwing some more four-seamers up, you know, which is not always the case. You know, also he's sort of taking away what Chris Bassitt does with the two-seamers, starting to throw a few of those up. You know, that can be a weapon into righties, away to lefties. Like, you know, when he's doing that to quadrants and can do that with a consistent velocity, and then add the slurve, slider, curveball. Like, it looks to me like he's got three of them. I know when you have a conversation with him, it's really hard to figure out what to call it. But, boy, you know, when he's going like he is, and depending on what kind of hitter's up, whether he's lefty or righty, whether he wants to make it look more like a breaking ball or more like a back foot slider, or, you know, that slider that goes down and away, he can backdoor it. Like, he can spin it like no tomorrow. So he's got a lot of confidence doing that, we all know, and obviously the sinker command. Yeah, I mean, look, he's one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the American League, and that Ragans guy on the other side with the fastball and the cutter and the velocity, and, yeah, I just don't know what the good approach is. I think it looked to me like the Jays were looking for the fastball, Jeff, just when it's that hard, mm-hmm. and he's somewhat locating. I mean, he gave him some good pitches to hit, but it is 98, and it just looked to me like it had an extra gear. I know what the scoreboard was saying, that it was 98. It looked to me like it was a little harder, but that dude's good. Like, that's – if you like pitching, that was the game to watch for sure.
Yeah, no, it really was. I mean, some nights, you know, I'm not a big believer that you tip your cap, yada, yada, et cetera, but you can with Cole Ragans tonight. I don't know, Kevin, what type of an approach works against a guy like that. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you got to hope that he misses and you run into one, basically.
Yeah, I think you got to look right down the middle. You know, you know what it is, Jeff? You've seen enough of these games where you're running into some good pitching. It's just a couple at bats, right? It's not mm-hmm. innings. You're not going to string together a bunch of hits. It's the sixth and seventh inning, right? It was the Turner at bat with first and second. He got three fastballs. He got a first pitch cutter, then the two fastballs that are basically down the middle. Looked to me like he was late on. Maybe he was looking for a secondary pitch when he got to two strikes, but that's one of those at bats. And then the Kevin Biggio at bat against Schreiber, where he was, you know, basically made some good pitches. The arm angle's a little bit different after you're facing a guy that throws a bazillion miles an hour. Again, I ain't mm-hmm. making excuses. It's just tougher at bats to sort of, when you've been used to all day opening up the front side, cheating to get to that high octane velocity, and then you're facing this dude where you have to stay through the baseball, think left center in a big situation. And that's sort of what it comes down to against these good dudes, right? Is you have to have those at bats. You have the right guy come up, and just so happens tonight they didn't get the big hit.
No, they didn't. And I guess if you're looking for a positive offensively, Bo Bichette gets an RBI. I mean, you're trying to we're looking for stuff from the core. Turner's been there most of the year. Vladdy had a couple of good games back-to-back, or let me rephrase that, a couple of productive games back-to-back. Bo starts tonight after taking last night off. He gets the RBI. You know, George Springer, another quiet evening. But we've started to see at times this week more contribution from that core group. I admit, Kevin, I'm grasping for straws. This is a team that still hasn't scored more than five. They've scored more than five runs once in 22 games. So I admit I'm grasping for straws offensively. But, I mean, that's really all I got out of tonight's game.
I think you got to try and do that, Jeff, if you're the lineup. I mean, what else you got to do? You can't quit. It's too early in the season to throw in the towel. I mean, you got to continue to try and, you know, think about what you're trying to do with point of contact. If you're a guy that, you know, has trouble with velocity, you may have to go up and ambush some breaking balls. Take the fastball to, you know, sort of get in those breaking ball counts, and when you get them, don't miss them. It's as refined of an approach as you could possibly have consistently. You got to try and have it. And I'm with you. It's the small things now. Like, they just are not scoring enough runs. And, you know, it's one night where one dude's having a really good night to score six runs, and then they run into a guy that, you know, basically dominated them and was taking them behind the woodshed. So it's the small things. I mean, you got to walk away from here thinking to yourself, you know, at least you maybe didn't overswing if you're Vladdy. Maybe you know, if you're Justin Turner, you just missed those balls. You know, you had that natural little, you know, uppercut in your swing that you're trying to have with point of contact, and you continue to do that maybe against a guy that just doesn't have as much late life as Reagan's does. So, yeah, look, it's just hard sometimes, I think, to waste games that you have with the starting pitching that you have.
Yeah.
Man, Barrios was good, Jeff. Like, it's just, you know, you would like to see, I think the lineup may be helping a little.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Don't worry about the Leafs. They're going to win this game. So give us a call. Give us a call. We can chat some Blue Jays. I want your impressions of the first month of the regular season. Again, 15-16. The Blue Jays are not the worst team in the American League East. I mean, as we kind of expected, it could be anywhere from, in this division, you can be anywhere from fourth to first. I think the Boston Red Sox, credit the Boston Red Sox what they've done in the first month. But at some point, I think that, you know, whatever magic they have that's getting them where they are, that will probably wear off. The Baltimore Orioles, by the way, beating the New York Yankees again.
Yeah.
Tonight. Yeah, the Orioles are...
Talk about a lineup, Jeff.
They are a four-reel team. Any concern with Eric Swanson? Now, I mean, that was not a horrible pitch that Bobby Witt hit. But again, you know, Eric Swanson's an important guy for this team, especially if John Schneider kind of wants to play it with almost like two separate bullpens. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Eric Swanson's an important guy for this particular team. What are you seeing out of him?
Yeah, I think it's counts, right? I think sometimes he's a little too predictable. You know, Witt has tremendous plate coverage. You know, I think you sort of throw that out the window. He just, sometimes you get beat. Yeah, I'm with you. That was a good pitch. Maybe it was predictable when it was coming, when he's going to throw it, and you can sort of, you know, direct your eyes down and think about throwing the barrel down instead of worrying about other quadrants of the strike zone. You know, the 3-1 single he gave up, that caught too much of the plate. That's a fastball, you know, that he should locate a little bit better. The stolen base, he wasn't paying any attention whatsoever. Didn't give Kirky much of a chance. It's little things like that, right, that in those parts of the game when you're struggling to try and get out, you know, the big part of the order, that you got to do the little things, control the running game a little bit better, make better pitches when you're behind in the count against guys that you should be getting out. So am I worried? That might be a strong word. Am I concerned? Yeah, a little. Like, it's just – the quality of the stuff batter to batter hasn't just been real good. And, you know, I know why John was running him out there, because they were losing, right? I don't know if he would have ran him out there if it was a tie game or they were winning, obviously. So I don't know if it's a concern, but they're going to need him. Like, they're going to need him to start figuring it out, getting ahead of more batters, being a little bit more unpredictable with the split finger, be better with the split finger, and – hopefully you start seeing a better Eric Swanson. But, again, I think they're going to need him.
4-1, the Kansas City Royals have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays. The rubber match, remember this, is a 3:07 first pitch tomorrow afternoon. Blair and Barker will be on for an hour before the game. We'll have an hour-long pregame leading up to the game on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and then we'll be along following the game with Blue Jays talk on both the Sportsnet radio network and Sportsnet. We are going to take a break. The Leafs and Bruins are off to overtime. We'll come back and hear from the skipper, John Schneider. Take your calls. We've also got some comments on the Jays' first month of the season. Don't go anywhere. It's Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet radio network. All right, 4-1. The Toronto Blue Jays have lost to the Kansas City Royals. We'll hear from the skipper, John Schneider, in a few minutes.
See what you did there.
You see what I did. Third game of the series goes tomorrow afternoon. Work from dome, they calling it. Work from dome. The Leafs and Bruins, they're in overtime. And not to worry, Leafs fans. William Nylander's going to score in overtime and win it.
Got it in the bag.
It's in the bag. I've been telling everybody this series has been in the bag. But people don't listen to me.
They should.
No. 15-16, the Jays finish April. Kevin, we've talked about how good the starting pitching is, and I do want to, John and Guelph, we're going to get to you in a minute, but Kevin, I do want to talk about one thing with the starting pitching. It has been good. They have given up a lot of home runs, though. 41. Now, 28 of them have been solo. But that's, for 1 month, that's probably a number that Pete Walker is not that thrilled with.
Yeah, that's not just from the rotation. That's from the entire
No, that's from everybody.
Pitching staff. Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think they just need to make better pitches. Like, you know, Bassett and Gosman have given up more homers than normal. I think Bassett's given up six of those. Like, there's some guys that are just struggling with location and the maintaining the good release point and having the velocity consistently that they need. So if they do miss, they can get away with it, right? It's not a homer. It's a foul ball. So it's kind of thing. So there is some guys that are having some work in progress, but I'm with you. Like, just the quality of the secondary stuff and the quality of the counts have to get better for them to keep the ball in the yard. Like, a lot of these dudes go on the plate and thinking about getting it out front and getting it in the air to the pull side, because that's really the only approach. When you're facing dudes that are this good, that can add and subtract, what other plan can you have?
Right.
So you got to make really good pitches. Those secondary stuff's got to have some good break and good misses, and they'll figure it out. That's not their worry, I don't think.
John and Guelph, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, John?
Hey, guys, just a couple of questions. One, it's just more to do with the management and the front office. Do you guys feel that Schneider is the actual shot caller? Number one question.
Mm-hmm. Kevin?
Yes. Yes. I think they've learned from the mistakes, John, from the last couple of years, and they will give, so I'm told, they will give the information. What John does with it is up to him.
Now,
that ties in kind of with what I've been told too. So,
yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. Next question, mainly for you, Kevin. As a player, any type of inkling like there was last year that this guy who's supposed to have both hands on the wheel doesn't have both hands on the wheel, what effect does that have on you as a player? Because I think it has a drastic effect, and I think it shows by the approach of some of these hitters that do whatever the effing they want. And I just want to know your feeling on that. When you're in a clubhouse, you're a player, but you know the manager isn't completely in full control. Like, does that not lose credibility? And my other point, when are we going to get a guy here? Like, when is the last manager that we had that went somewhere else and got a manager's job?
Oh, John, I'm going to let Kevin answer the other part of your question. That is a great question. I'm trying to think, and boy, I can't come up with. John Farrell.
Yeah.
The only
Red
guy.
Sox.
And he was basically traded. He was basically traded. And the one thing that I think about with this, and Kevin, I want you to jump in and answer this question, but I was just thinking about this as John was talking. You know, this is Ross Atkins' third manager. Now he inherited. He inherited a manager in John Gibbons. But this is something that I think people kind of sometimes tend to overlook. Charlie Montoya was his hire, or this management's group, management group's hire. They chose him over Brandon Hyde, amongst other people. That didn't work out. John Schneider was their handpicked replacement for him. Not only that, they gave him an extension. So if John Schneider, if they were to make a move on John Schneider, and I have no indication that's going to happen, we're now talking Ross Atkins being on his fourth general manager, or his fourth manager. That's a lot of managers for one GM to have. And if you look around the East, Kevin Cash has been there forever. He's one of the longest serving managers in baseball. Alex Cora has been there for a long time. Aaron Boone's been there for a long time. Brandon Hyde, he's been there for what? I don't know, 5 years, however many years
He'll
it is.
He'll be there for a long time.
He'll be there for a long time.
Yeah.
At some point, you've got to have some stability in the manager's chair. And I think that is something, this gets to the point the caller asked you, Kevin, about guys in the clubhouse. You know, at some point, if you're Bo, how many different managers will you, if John Schneider gets fired, how many different managers will you have played for if you're Bo?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, look, the relationship between manager and player was different when I played than it is now, right? It seems to me like nowadays you have to be buddy-buddy, you have to be friends with your manager, you have to care what he thinks. When I played, you didn't. Like, it was, if I didn't, you know this, Jeff, as well as anybody, you were in clubhouse probably more than I was when I was playing. That's sort of the, I think, you know, what they're kind of going through is the information that they're trying to give from the khakis and relaying that to whoever they're trying to relay it to. I just, again, I wonder how many guys in the lineup actually listen to however much information that they're getting. Jeff, you've brought this up many times. They're not a young lineup. I mean, there's some guys in there that are trying to find their way, the Schneiders, the Clements, the, you know, the who else would be the Clements and the Bargers of the world. Like, they're going to take some information that the other guys won't. But I just don't know. First four or five guys, Dalton Voorhees, are going to take a bunch of information that, you know, he don't want to take in. I think those are, you know, you take what you want to hear. If you don't want to hear it, you nod your head, appreciate the sheet of paper. You go to the cage, you work on what you think you need to work on. And I think sometimes we just overblow that a little, is my point, I think.
We should mention the Jays made a move before the game, putting Yariel Rodriguez on IL with something that sounds just god-awful. I'm not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination, but it's, thoracic spine inflammation?
Doesn't sound good.
I mean, I don't know what it is, but I don't know what the hell a thoracic is, but I know what a spine is. And thoracic spine inflammation, I don't know what, you know, again, he is on the IL. Zach Pop was called up, and Zach Pop pitched today. John Schneider was asked about two pitching performances tonight of significance. One occurred here. The other occurred in Indianapolis. We'll talk. We'll play John Schneider's comments on Jose Berríos' start in a losing effort tonight.
For Jose, again, just like last time, one pitch, and otherwise it's a great out. And what how did you assess him tonight?
Really good sinker tonight, and I think, yeah, like you said, one bad pitch to Massey. But other than that, I mean, efficient, defense was good behind him, kept his pitch count down. You know, Kirky made a good throw to get Bobby there to end the inning too. Hosey was good, man. He's right there with Raggins. You know, he's making pitch after pitch. You know, it was a really, really good night from Hosey.
It certainly was. In Indianapolis, Alek Manoah pitched for the Buffalo Bisons. Six innings pitched, 12 strikeouts, two hits, one home run, 92 pitches, 62 strikes, walked two batters. I mentioned 12 strikeouts. Got 19 whiffs and 39 swings. 13 on the slider, Kevin. He sat 93, touched 96. The best outing from Alek Manoah since he's whatever the hell happened to him, happened to him. What do you think? And the Jays, they're the timetable for making a decision on him in this current IL status is May 6th, I believe. So knowing that Yariel Rodriguez is on the IL, if you're the Blue Jays, you know, we talked about Bowden Francis was piggybacking with Yariel Rodriguez. He's not, he's clearly not available. This isn't enough for the Blue Jays to bring Alec Manoah up, though, is it? You got to see Alec Manoah. Or you think it is?
I think it is. Why not? Why not? Like, you know, when we had John on last Friday, you asked him the question about Alec Manoah, and he seemed to think that they were really thinking about if he would have had a good start of putting him in the big leagues. And they're sort of, sounds to me like, waiting for him to have a good start, right? The location of the two-seamer, the maintaining the velocity of the two-seamer.
The slider is hugely important for him.
Absolutely. Being able to throw that slider when a guy knows it's coming and still get the result he wants. Like, they saw that tonight. I don't know what else you'd want to see other than that and, you know, sort of the opportunity right now and what they don't have other than Alec Manoah. I would ask you, if it's not him, who?
Yeah, I don't, given the inefficiency of Yariel Rodriguez, I don't know what the answer is. Here's the thing. I don't know what they think Alec Manoah is anymore. And maybe it's just as important to get him up here right now and get some type of outing from him. And see where it goes. But the numbers looked awfully good. Again, the reports were awfully good. The big numbers for me with him, you know, the fact that he sat 93, he hit 96. The slider to me was the slider efficiency is the thing I'm looking for, because I think that that's the pitch that can really help him survive.
Yeah, I think you were seeing a lot of 95s. You weren't seeing a lot of 90, 91s, which is a big deal. That'll tell you he's mechanically sound. You know, his conditioning looked off the charts. Like, he looks like he's in really
good
shape.
He looks really good.
Absolutely he does. And that's going to help him maintain that, you know, get the sinker where he wants it to go, have the slider end up where he wants it to go. I just don't know, if not now, when.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyhow, we'll, as I said, certainly the Jays lost 4-1 tonight, but real good news. Real good news down in AAA with Alec Manoah's start. And again, we'll see where that goes from here. It'll be interesting, too, if Alec Manoah's back with the team tomorrow. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. So, the Blue Jays, 4-1 losers to the Kansas City Royals, the third and final game of the series. Tomorrow afternoon, Kevin Barker and Jeff Blair will be along following the game for Blue Jays Talk. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Nepean and Orleans. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.